Sports of America, and live from the G&D Show Studio, this is your Ghost Men and Demon Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, listeners around the world. It must be Sunday night because we're back here in studios. Welcome back to the mystifying oracle of radio. Ladies and gentlemen, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Hello, hello.
Well, hello.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
I'm allowed to be. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you sound real good. You sound super low right now, Nathan.
I sound super low. Let me bring up my volume here. Does that help at all?
No, it does not help.
Oh my goodness. What could go right tonight there, Sean?
I don't know. We had a bunch of audio problems, guys. We'd like to apologize before the show. We were trying to make some...
Father, Sean, everybody who listens to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show knows that 99% of the time there's going to be an issue just before we go. Let's face it. What do we do? We either broadcast from our own studios or we go out on a location somewhere and broadcast from somewhere with hardly any internet. There's gonna be a problem.
Okay, we got you set. That was on my end, guys. There's Nathan, everybody.
Oh, wait. Did nobody just hear my rant?
No, they heard your rant.
It was 5 minutes and nobody heard.
I brought up your volume right before your rant ended, so they got, what in the world? Hey! No, we got
okay.
You. We got you.
I see. So you're to blame. All right. What the heck? Anyway, why do... What difference does it make, right? We're the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, and this is what we do.
This is what we do, ladies
and gentlemen. I've got the soundtrack of the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie playing in my head now with this is what we do. Never mind. Anyway.
Is that what you
got? I gotta get into the Demon Hunter voice here, Sean, because we got a lot going on here tonight. We've got some interesting stories, some cool legends to talk about, and of course our guest this evening. So we lost 15 minutes. Let's jump right into it there, bro.
No, we didn't lose 15. We lost 10. We're talking right now. We went on about 11 after, so
wait,
hopefully...
listening?
Huh?
Oh, no. People have been listening? I thought we were just chatting. Never mind.
People were listening, man. People were listening. I still got that hum on there. Anyway, guys, we'll work out the audio problems, but like I said, welcome back. This is your Mystifying Oracle of Radio. It's Sunday. We apologize for being late, but you should know better now after 7 years of broadcasting. This
hey,
is how we do.
Start having like decent audio and being able to come on time. Somebody contact Sirius XM Radio for us and tell them you think the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show belongs on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, let them know, folks. Let them know.
Yeah, let them know. Then maybe we'll actually have some decent sound to work with.
We'll have some good sound.
We'll have audio. For a radio show, we have really lousy audio sometimes, John. My mother told me to get into a radio in the first place. She said, you have the voice for broadcasting and the face for radio.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, but what a night. Hey, the band we listened to tonight, Demon Hunter, Alucard. Alucard, guys. Alucard. Good friends of the G&D show. Good supporters, and you can check out more on them at ReverbNation.com. That's ReverbNation.com. Name of the band, Alucard. I like them, man.
Alucard? Is that like if you take your dinner one piece at a time?
I knew you was going to say that. Is that an entree? No, Alucard, man. The rock and roll death machine.
My dessert a la carte, please.
Yeah, well, I met him out there at the Octagon Hall a few years back. I was doing autographs and stuff out there at the hall. And Twangin' Round, the group Twangin' Round, of course, introduced us. And they got a good feel, man. They make you feel good. I believe they're out of Nashville, Tennessee. Hero is the lead singer. And it's a great band. It's a great band.
Important to know. Definitely.
And definitely important to know, guys. So Reverb Nation, make sure to check them out. But hey, it is Sunday night, Demon Hunter. And I got to tell you, yesterday, I went to see, and you already know this, but I'm going to tell listeners around the world anyway. I went to see The Conjuring, which is based on the true case files of people you know very well, the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine, out your way there. And I thought it was a good show, and it was a great tribute to, you know, a couple pioneers in the field of the ghost hunting genre.
The genre?
Yeah, because they was doing it before it was cool.
Yeah, well, you know, like I tell people all the time, when I got into this business, people didn't contact you to find out if you had a ghost. They contacted you to get rid of it.
Right.
Then they didn't want people to know. They didn't want to be on a TV special or anything like that. They just wanted you to get rid of what was in their house.
They wanted to get rid of it. And we helped them get... Hey, we used to do a lot of that. They reminded me of the old days where, you know, we all started out doing this. Because Nathan and I, we did the paranormal thing. I mean, that's how we met. And we did, you know, we'd go to people's homes and try to help and do things like that. It kind of reminded me of the good old days, Demon Hunter. Because, you know, Ed and Lorraine, they were, you know, mad props to them. They were ghost hunting, whatever you want to call it, before the empire of ghost hunting now, which kind of ran us out of the business. It was running us out of the business because we got sick of... You know,
arguing with who gets to be in the paranormal community and who doesn't.
Oh, well, whatever.
We're a community of two.
Well, the G&D was too big for the paranormal community. That's it. We had to bust out, man. We had to do our own thing. But we did. Great show. Spooky Doll, man. Spooky Doll. That's all I can say. I can't give any spoilers.
Spooky Doll. But Sean.
But it does give a tribute, Nathan, to the, what's the name of the Annabelle doll?
Oh, the Annabelle.
The Annabelle. Now, have you been to the Warren's Museum, yeah?
Yep.
And you've been in the basement.
There was actually, I didn't get to see the whole thing, because when I went, there was actually a flooding incident.
Oh.
And a lot of the stuff had to be boxed up and preserved and stuff like that because there had been a flood, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, so I didn't get to see the whole thing, but I have seen Annabelle.
Annabelle. It's a Raggedy Ann doll. Raggedy Ann doll. That was the real one, so.
I wanted to touch it, but she would not let me.
You like to touch a lot of things. Hey, what's going on? You was getting ready to say something, and I interrupted.
Well, unlike you, Sean, I like to touch other people's things, where you like to touch your own.
Gotta do what you gotta do, bro. What do you do? Well, you were going to say something. I'm sure it was important in some way.
Going to say something?
Yeah, you said, yeah, but I was, and then I cut back in and said something about you've been to the museum, and.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, you don't know what he's talking about. But anyway, the show, guys, The Conjuring. And if you do like The Conjuring, I'm sure there'll be a surprise coming up on a future episode of your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. So, I don't know. Wouldn't you think that, Demon Hunter? Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. We're not promising anything, guys. It's trick or treat. Here on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show tonight, but
we don't even promise a show will come off because of sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Sometimes it doesn't come off. That's the way it is, man. But we did have an incident yesterday. I was coming in the house last night, and once again, I thought I seen not a kangaroo shaped UFO, but I did see. You know, I've been watching the stars a lot lately, and you know I was really never into the UFO phenomena. I mean, I was, but I wasn't. I'm a ghost guy.
You were interested in it, but it wasn't your thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't, you know, we go out and I kind of hear bits and pieces, but how to look for these things. But anyway, I go out here and I'm throwing away the garbage last night. It's probably 2 or 3 in the morning. You know how us are, those late nighters, Demon Hunter, because you are one now. And, I was standing out there, and I swear to God, it could have been a satellite, I guess, but it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen before in my life. It actually made a course correction in the air. I mean, it wasn't a shooting star. I thought, ooh, there's a shooting star, but it was extremely slower. And then I start thinking, whoa, comet? What is this here? And it changed direction. Not like something you see in UFO files or whatever where it cuts back real quick. It was very slow. And at first I thought maybe I'd seen two shooting stars and, you know, one was going in one direction and the other. And I could have. But I tell you, it was really spooky. You know, I seen it in the beautiful sky last night. There was no moon out here. And I could see it. And, well, I'm sure there was a moon, but I couldn't see it. It was a dark sky.
There was a moon, Sean. Trust me.
Was there a moon?
There was. I was setting up my new tiki bird bath in the backyard, so yes, there was a moon.
Oh, a tiki bird bath. Explain that. Explain yourself, sir.
It's a giant concrete tiki head with a bird bath on top.
Are you into the whole tiki thing? All the years I've known you, I know. Oh, I never knew that you liked that kind of thing.
You've seen my Hawaiian shirt collection.
Well, yeah, I've seen the Hawaiian shirt, but I didn't know, you know, I didn't know you.
Well, of course you're more into the tiki thing than I am, so, yeah, we do have quite a bit. What the heck is that?
Well, I'm trying to set the levels.
I want a biggie fries.
While we're doing the show here, you know.
I would have preferred, rather than a giant tiki, a giant Twinkie bird bath, because I'm much more into Twinkies than tiki, but...
Twinkies and teepees. I got you.
Tiki.
Beat me up.
Are you listening to me?
Scotty, beat me up.
Yeah, I am listening to you, actually. Tiki.
Do you know the Twinkies are back?
Yes! It was exciting. I got one of the first box like the second day it came out. Yes, I did.
They have a list out of 11 reasons why you should be happy Twinkies are back.
What are the 11 reasons?
You won't have to pay thousands of dollars to get Twinkies anymore. Remember they had that person with a starting bid on on eBay for $200,000?
I wonder if anybody ever bought that and they're sitting there going, "Dope!"
Damn it. You now have an excuse to try deep fried Twinkies.
Mm-hmm.
The Twinkies will now be made with a new recipe. I don't know if I'm happy about that.
I don't think so. And, you know, go ahead. What else?
Number four is Twinkies will now have a 26-day longer expiration date, which means fewer expired Twinkies. When have you ever known a Twinkie to expire?
What, is NASA making them now or what?
They're used with new alien technology.
What happened. It was a hostile takeover from the UFOs. They go, you know what? This is too good. Anything that good and that tasty with the spongy deliciousness of a Twinkie, that is a Twinkie, has to be from an alien planet.
Well, you now have a chance to break the Guinness Book of Records of Twinkie consumed in 1 minute. It currently stands at 14 PSH, I guess it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
14 Twinkies in 1 minute.
Per second. 14 per second.
Could you do it?
No.
You couldn't do that?
No.
I'd like to try.
Let's see. You can look forward to more heartwarming ads like the classic commercial Twinkie the Kid.
Yeah.
You even remember Twinkie the Kid?
I do remember Twinkie the Kid. Are you kidding me?
You can impress your friends with homemade delicious Hostess Twinkie cookbook.
Right.
You can now make Twinkie cupcakes.
Twinkie cupcakes.
We'll be playing with this.
Is that like a heart attack in a little cup?
Twinkies don't give heart attacks.
You can attempt to lose weight on the new Twinkie diet.
Really?
Yes. This is not real medical advice, but you may want to. You know, there is a Twinkie diet out there. Can believe in the economic principle of Twinkieization again.
Okay.
This is a real term. Twinkieization is the rising number of consumers able to afford small luxuries.
Okay.
And you no longer have to ask yourself, where are the effing Twinkies, as in, our favorite Zombieland movie.
You can't say effing, can you?
You can say effing.
Really?
Yes, you can say F and you just can't say the rest of it.
I did not know that.
Heck, what is it? I can. They did an entire series based on, you know, what was it? The fracking?
The effing?
Fracking, from the show? Battlestar Galactica. Everything was fracking this and fracking that.
Don't bring me into your little sick world.
Come on, be a geek. Be a geek with us, Sean.
Don't bring me into your sick world.
We'll be playing with you there.
You're a bad man.
Don't do it, Nathan. Don't.
Don't be playing with yourself.
Especially when we're on the air.
You are a bad, bad man.
I'm a bad boy. No, but the Twinkie, it originated, believe it or not, at the Hostess, the foundry, or the Hostess, whatever you call it, the main Hostess, and that was, of course, from Indianapolis, Indiana. Beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. Yes, yes. And the man named it Twinkie, and it was, here's your $500 question. To all the listeners in the chat room, if there is any, and Nathan Schoonover, a.k.a. the Demon Hunter, I pose this question, or submit this question. Where did the name, and don't Google it, where did the name Twinkie come from?
Don't be playing with yourself.
Go ahead. Dead air kills.
I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Name Twinkie.
Time's up.
No. Give me a checking here. I'm guessing it did not come from the actress. And
there's an actress named Twinkie.
No, that was.
That was a dancer that you knew. Oh, Twinkie.
It's a joke. I was making a Twinkie joke, but never mind.
You were?
Oh, good grief.
you like it?
I would think it would have something to do with the space program, but I don't know.
Twinkie was originated, the name Twinkie, for the delicious, spongy, cream-filled treat. And I'm not talking about the Ghost Man. The name Twinkie came from a woman's shoe back in the 1940s.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was named after a woman's shoe, and the creator seen it.
I had no clue whatsoever.
Well.
Oh, good grief.
That's what you keep me around for. Thank you, Charlie Brown. Huh?
No, I'm not telling
you. That's why you keep me around. But that's what it was from. Useless information from your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, guys. Demon Hunter!
Woman's shoe, really? A woman's shoe?
You know, we're 30 minutes into it since I cost us 10. At the beginning. You think
what should we do now?
I don't know. I'm kind of lost tonight. I'm spinning out of control.
Well, we obviously do not have to do any zombie reports because there is no zombie news out there.
How about tonight's guest?
I did recently find a report that said that guppies can reproduce after they're dead.
Guppies! You want to save that for the news segment? You want me to do tonight's guest real quick?
No, let's do tonight's guest.
Because I'm going to forget it if we don't.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
All right. You sure?
Sure, why not?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Demon Hunter, listeners around the world, tonight's guest!
Dun, dun, dun.
Tonight's guest, we head back to the bayou, you all. We're going to look for the Rougarou. What else is out there? Ghosts, demons, vampires. We're heading down south, guys. Back to Bourbon Street. With our special guest, author, lecturer, actor, actress, Kalila Smith, in the house with your bad boys of shadow, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Huh?
Dun, dun, dun.
Good friend. Good friend of the show, Nathan.
Oh, yes.
Kalila, she's a good friend of the show.
I know.
She loves us. She helped with Extreme Paranormal. They cut it out, but she was on there.
That was not fair. I did not think that was fair at all.
Yeah, that wasn't fair. But tonight's guest.
It was funny. I remember when we did Extreme Paranormal, they sent us the episode, and I watched it, and it was like, oh, wow, this is really cool, and blah, blah, blah. And then it aired, and I watched it again. I realized, where's Kalila? We spent an entire night with Kalila. Where is she?
Yeah, with Kalila. It was there. And then we lost her somehow.
And that was the night that we spent in that weird-ass graveyard that had the giant cockroaches all over the place, and then they brought our dinner out and they laid it out on the tombstones for us to eat.
Yeah, that's true. We were eating on the tombstones in a bad part of town. We had guards. Remember, we had armed guards.
Oh yeah, we had police guards up and down the street.
From the Haunted History Tours of New Orleans, award-winning Haunted History Tours of New Orleans, author
and
lecturer.
Every TV show on haunted New Orleans you've ever seen.
Ever seen, Kalila Smith. In the house with your bad boys tonight.
She'll be joining us as I drink the beer of the week, Landshark Lager. Sorry, Sean, I beat you to beer of the week.
Oh, my God, Landshark Lager. Little Jimmy Buffett there for you, huh?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
I think so. He does own, like, part of Landshark there, right?
I think it was his, I think he owns it all, man.
Ah.
Yeah.
Landshark.
Hey, ask everybody out there, listeners around the world, how the sound is tonight. I don't know, apologize, guys. Give us a, get in the chat room, let us know if the sound is okay, because we didn't, we was doing sound checks before the show. We don't want to blare you guys' eardrums.
That's
up.
Why we were late. It's,
nothing like waiting to the last minute to produce this award-winning radio program.
You know, the only reason I think that people, keep giving us awards for this show is because the fact that we go through what really does seem like hell every week to show up on the air, and they're... We're just grateful that people come and listen, and it's just the fact that we don't take ourselves that seriously. I think people keep saying they love the show.
It's kind of like that last kid, the kid in last, always finished last in the race. You got to give him something, right? He tries so hard.
Hey, yeah, that was me, and I never got anything.
Yeah. If they have to talk about the G&D show, guys, they give us an A for effort. Isn't that bad? That's what all your girlfriends said, Demon Hunter.
Oh, good grief.
She said she gave me an F for fantastic.
I give you an A for effort. Well, at least she's going to give us something. Demon Hunter! Listeners around the world, let's do it. In the news!
In the news!
Let's turn that down because that's way hot. Huh? Let's do that real quick. Yes. Da-da, da-da. It starts right now. It's always entertaining, hot, fresh. Here you go.
Starts right now.
It did. Start it right now.
And this week's news brought to you by, since we don't have zombie reports anymore, I guess this can come to people from the Zombie Research Society and Midnight Syndicate.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to play the music back for you, because I...
Well, gee, thank you. So that being the news introduction, let's go into the news where a thief takes human ashes thinking that they were cocaine.
You stole my story!
I found that story.
Jesus. I guess you can't... I guess when you're our news guy, you can't steal the stories, can you?
You can't steal nothing. I'm the one trolling the internet for all these stories that other people wrote.
Jesus.
So this one comes to us from the Huffington Post and tells us, if cocaine... Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you are playing the Ghostman and Demon Hunter drinking game, as long as you're not in your car or getting ready to get in your car or planning to drive anytime soon, because you will get very drunk if you take a drink every time Sean and I make a mistake.
Yes, don't drink.
Yes, don't drink and drive.
Drink, but don't drink.
Drink and stay at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. So, if cocaine is a hell of a drug, human ashes are a hell of a mistake.
That's three cuss words for you tonight.
I said damn, I said effing, and I said hell. Oh my goodness.
G&D Bell. 1, 2, 3. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I'm not bleeping anything tonight. This is going up the way it is.
This is going up dirty and raw.
Yes. We're still probably the cleanest show out there.
Probably. I'd imagine. That's what makes us great for the whole family.
Billy Cantrell, 28, was arrested this week for allegedly stealing a box of human ashes from his neighbor in Tennessee.
Okay.
Family members believe that Cantrell thought the ashes were cocaine. William thought it was drugs. He thought he'd done found him a box of cocaine is... what he thought, my mother said.
Thought he hit a score there.
William thought it was drugs. He thought he'd done found him a box of cocaine is what he thought.
Mm-hmm.
I am reading that word for word. You don't have to take a drink, folks.
Drink.
Cantrell's grandmother said. Wanda Allen told News Channel 5
that
Cantrell was held on a... aggravated burglary charge.
Aggravated.
So he was held on a burglary charge, not body snatching.
Okay.
I wouldn't you think that if they stole human ashes, it would be body snatching still? Anyway, according
Demon
to
Hunter,
police,
I'm not the law. I'm not the law.
Well, this is true. Cantrell took an Xbox from his neighbors, along with a small box, and fled to his grandmother's home in Nashville.
To grandmother's house we go.
With ashes under our arm.
That's it.
The grandmother believes he wasn't sober. Have a drink, folks. During the incident, the ashes were that of the Medley's family's mother.
Okay.
Okay. Medley's? Okay.
Medley. Drink anyway, guys.
Why not? They just made it sound like he'd been a troubled person who broke into the house and stole the woman's ashes. I'm not saying he's not guilty, but he didn't know what he was stealing, his grandmother, Katie, told News Channel 5.
Did he snort any of them?
His Cantrell's grandmother believes he did not appear to snort the ashes.
Oh.
On top of that, it had a white piece of paper tapped over it with a date of birth and a date of death and the name of the funeral home. And he still thought it was cocaine. Isn't that where you would hide your cocaine?
Well, yeah. The funeral homes are known for their...
And your jewelry, wouldn't you?
Sweet Colombian powder.
Not all human ashes... theft stories have such a happy ending.
Okay.
In 2010, three Florida men stole human and dog remains, similarly thinking that the urns contained crushed up drugs.
Great. They googly moogly.
They tasted and snorted the contents.
Right.
After pleading guilty to the thefts, one of the convict men apologized to the court. Can you get arrested on cannibalism for that too?
I don't know. Is cannibalism illegal in the United States?
Yes, cannibalism is illegal.
I don't think cannibalism would be illegal. Killing the person and eating.
Cannibalism is illegal. You are not allowed to eat human flesh.
We'd have to talk about that further. I'll have to check in.
There's nothing to talk about. You're not allowed.
Okay.
Go ahead. Give a story.
Great googly moogly. Are you done?
I'm done.
That's a pretty lame story. Anyway.
It's not a lame story. The man stole human ashes, and they talked about other people snorting human ashes.
It's kind of lame.
You know, it's a funny joke here and there, and it's not your grandmother, but, you know, this is somebody's family member. I mean, it would be like somebody going to your grandfather's grave, digging it up, and saying, you know, hey, Grandpa, come and have a dance with me. This is not fun.
So, you know that old song, that hillbilly song, Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer? I wonder... Grandma got snorted by Bobby. Huh?
Not even funny. Go ahead.
That was good. In the news, would-be mermaid banned from Florida pool.
Oh, you stole my story.
That's right. Cue up another one, buddy. School of Hard Knocks. Hey, would-be mermaid banned from Florida. I figured I'd read this because, you know, the big craze. Remember Discovery Channel released that documentary that all these people came forward and were mad when they said it was fake? Even though it showed a mermaid's hand, like, slapping a submarine, and they went to commercial. Oh, God. People. Anyway, would-be mermaid guys, Lithia, Florida. Drink anyway. A Florida woman has been banned from swimming in her community pool because she wants to wear a mermaid tail. Oh, it's not a real mermaid. Jenna Conti, who lives in the Fishhawk Ranch subdivision, has been in the aquatic club pool with her custom-made tail once before with the staff's approval. But last week, employees told her it violated a policy against swim fins. Huh? Swim
well,
fins.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
It does.
You can't wear those. On Monday night, the Fishhawk community, a lot of Fishhawk and Mermaid here, Community Development Board voted to keep her out of the pool, Demon Hunter, because of the swim fin policy. That's what the Tampa Bay Times reports. They also said that Conti's dream is to swim at the Florida Aquarium, which features mermaid performers. The full-time hairstylist hasn't been a mermaid for very long, guys. She and her 10-year-old son saw the mermaids at the Tampa Bay Renaissance Fair earlier this year, and she says she was enthralled. Enthralled!
So this is like a fad. So it's not like they were infringing upon her religious rights to believe she is a mermaid.
Apparently her little son wants to wear mermaid tails and dance in the pool. Well, I don't know how little Bobby... little Bobby like gym class? Shower times my...
Little Bobby might grow up to steal people's ashes and snort them.
Yeah, shower times my favorite, Mom. In gym class, with all the other guys.
A, the comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon.
Say goodnight, Popo.
Huh?
Goodnight,
Popo. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Sean, you know, out in your neck of the woods.
Gym class. It's funny. Out in my neck of the woods.
Out in your neck of the woods, fire engulfs fireworks store.
Ooh.
Sending fireworks soaring.
Okay.
So, apparently... this comes to us from Yahoo News.
Mm-hmm.
A fire at an Indiana fireworks store broke out Wednesday night, engulfing the building and sending fireworks soaring into the air.
Way to go,
Hoosiers. Firefighters battled the blaze.
Yeah.
The cause of the fire at the Windy City Fireworks in Rochester, Indiana, remains under investigation.
Okay. Both
county fire officers said, according to WSB-TV, firefighters had to dodge the fireworks that were being activated by the flames.
Okay.
No one was in the building at the time of the fire, and no injuries were reported. The building also housed an antique store, so I guess those antiques are gone forever.
They are gone?
Well... it says the building also housed an antique store, and the building burned down.
Okay, okay.
unless it was already full of ashes that Billy, little Billy tried to steal, chances are they're gone.
Get away from the building, Billy.
You are not allowed near any burnt up buildings anymore, Billy. The fire began at 9:30 p.m. Dozens of drivers pulled over to take a look at the impromptu firework display, causing a minor traffic delay. The Fulton County Sheriff's Office said, "Hey, Sean, did you pull over at any time and watch fireworks there?"
No, Fulton County. That's I think it's south of me.
Ah,
it's out there with them good old boys and the limestone quarries and all that.
Oh, a Rochester police officer told WSBT that the family that owns the Windy City Fireworks once owned a Rochester fire extinguisher warehouse that exploded in 2001, killing 4 people.
I like how you drove that home. Killing 4 people. Huh? Channel 6 is calling tonight, Demon Hunter.
So let me get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
Their fireworks company blew up.
Yeah.
Injuring no one.
Right.
But their fire extinguisher company.
Right.
Blew up, killing 4 people.
Who would have thought
it? We now have proof, Sean.
That Indiana's the best.
Fireworks are less dangerous
right.
than fire extinguishers. Everyone should keep at least 3 fireworks in their home to battle out the danger of having a fire extinguisher.
3 fire extinguishers.
You should have 3 fire extinguishers, but you should also have 3 sets of fireworks just to battle out to balance out the danger of having a fire extinguisher.
Okay.
You see? See my logic there?
I do. I see your logic. 3? I don't even have 1. Isn't that bad?
I have 1 in the kitchen, 1 upstairs, and 1 in the garage.
Well, aren't you dandy? Eric Davis, Demon Hunter, this comes
what about
from
him?
Huffington Post. Eric Davis, physicist, thought this was very good. Since we had our very own physicist, we love him, Stanton Friedman on last week, guys. Eric Davis, physicist, explains why scientists won't discuss their UFO interest. I thought this was a quinky dink. But for a very long time, they say, the scientific community has been weary of studying UFOs, and the scientists themselves hesitate to talk about their beliefs of unexplained aerial phenomena. But that attitude is changing, guys, and many scientists are joining the discussion without fear of ridicule. UFOs are real phenomena. They are artificial objects under intelligent control. They're definitely the craft of supremely advanced technology, says physicist Eric Davis, a researcher of light-speed travel. That guy knows what he's doing, huh? Davis, a research physicist at the Institution for Advanced Studies in Austin, studies propulsion physics, kind of like Stanton, which he hopes will one day allow humans to travel easily and quickly through our galactic neighborhood.
Okay.
Huh? He's aware of the public perception, Demon Hunter, mostly from skeptics and debunkers, that no legitimate scientist would ever touch the subject of UFOs. They're wrong, naive, stubborn, narrow-minded, afraid, and fearful. Take a breath. It's a dirty word and a forbidden topic. Science is about open-minded inquiry. You shouldn't be laughing off people. You should show more deference and respect to them. Scientists need to get back to using the scientific method, to studying things that are unknown and unusual, and the UFO subject is one of them. Yeah, says Davis. Way to go, Eric.
Way to get out there and ruin your reputation for the rest of your life.
Well, I'm sure there's
I applaud you.
I'm sure. I didn't read the whole story. I'm sure there's a book coming out later this fall. What do you think about that?
Oh, my goodness.
Demon Hunter, are you done with the news here?
Let me just throw this one little heartwarming story out there.
Warm my heart, Demon Hunter. I want you to warm it.
Story from UPI News. 7-year-old boy finds grandfather's missing wedding ring in the mud.
Oh.
This comes out of North Carolina, and apparently a 7-year-old boy said he says he found his grandfather's long-lost wedding ring while playing in the mud in the backyard at his grandparents' house in North Carolina. There you go. Jerry Embanks lost the wedding ring in 1982 while working around his home workshop in New Bern, North Carolina.
Yeah.
The Sunday Journal reported on Wednesday. I had no idea what happened to it. Well, that's very nice of him.
That's what he does.
So then while my grandson, Lem, who was visiting us from Florida, was playing in the mud in the backyard. He happened to find the ring.
Don't be playing with yourself.
The boy said, I took it to Nana on the porch and said, I found a treasure.
Yeah.
Called. She said, you sure did. That's Pop-Pop's lost wedding band.
Pop-Pop!
Lem's father, Wes, said he was surprised by the coincidence. It was just unbelievable that he happened to be playing in just the right spot.
And then the family cried and took it to the pawn shop, where they received thousands.
Jerry said he's not sure if he'll start wearing the ring again. So apparently, he maybe stopped wearing it. Maybe he didn't lose the ring in 1982. Maybe he just said, screw this, and chucked it in the mud.
You think, I was going to say, you think maybe he...
let you just drop them pants.
Yeah, you think he might have just dropped it in.
Leave it to him. Let him.
All right.
So he's going to leave it to his grandson. It'll be something he'll know to be a treasure for the rest of his life. So, you know, a little quinky-dink story there, just for everybody out there. The stories we did not get today, Sean, from the Huffington Post, Yahoo News, and UPI News, included National Geographic goes deep under cover to the ancient secrets of the... I have no idea what that word is. Do you know what that word is?
Out of Pepe!
Never mind.
No idea. I wasn't reading along.
To uncover ancient secrets.
Where are we?
Giant tuna capsizes Hawaiian fisherman's boat.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford says drone controversy drew him to Ender's Game.
Out of Pepe!
And I guess those are the only ones we didn't get to tonight.
Out of Pepe!
You sure? Yeah. It's the only ones we didn't do.
I was waiting to see if you had another thing to play before I said something.
No.
Out of Pepe!
There you go. Okay. If you were waiting.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for the news then.
Ladies and gentlemen, up next, self-produced.
Hey, are we going to talk about any monsters this week?
Well, yeah. Original idea by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Listeners around the world, Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show's Legend X.
Dun, dun, dun.
You like the new music?
I find it very legendy and X-y.
See? Legend X series, where we talk about everything from Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, Lizard Man, Hudwudgies, Troll People, Headless Horseman, Mothman. I could keep going.
And this week?
And this week, Demon Hunter.
Champ, the Lake Champlain Monster.
Lake Champlain Monster. Boom! Scene five.
This is, Sean, it's getting more and more that you and I look up this stuff, and rather than just reading to people what we find on the internet, we talk about what we found. I think that's really more what we do.
It's what we do all the time.
Have you ever been up to Lake Champlain?
I have never been to Lake Champlain. I've always wanted to go.
It's, I've been on both sides of it. On the shore, I've gotten to actually go out on a boat on it a few times. I can't help myself. Every time I go out on Lake Champlain, I sit there with my binocs trying to find Champ.
Your binocs? Is that gang slang out where you're at? My binocs?
My binoculars.
The name of your turf gang?
But, you know, this story goes back to, like, you know, Native Americans. And when, before the lake was even discovered by, you know, by the white man.
Hi, how are you? Zing! We just lost four listeners.
But both Native American tribes who actually lived near Lake Champlain...
Champlain.
And I'm gonna have to look this part up because I didn't remember it.
Look it up.
I apologize in advance for saying these wrong. The Abenaki and the Iroquois.
Okay.
Arcaris.
All right.
They both had their own legends about a large creature inhabiting the lake.
Ooh.
So before anybody else came out, before Samuel de Champlain, was the first European to sight the monster.
Okay.
Is
that why they named it after him? Because he's seen the monster?
Obviously, they must have.
Okay.
Right? But he actually, what he saw was in a nearby river.
Okay.
Not in the actual lake. And, but he did report there being, a large fish-like beast in the water.
Okay.
As big as his thigh, with a head as large as his two fists. A snout that was 2 feet long, and had double rows of sharp teeth. and had like armor plates up and down its body with a pike-like nose. That, to me, sounds like a sturgeon.
And he found out its name was Jennifer later, and he married her. In her bathing suit. That's all I got.
I got her.
Out of Pappy!
The story of Champ, of course, grew when later on when P.T. Barnum put out a reward for it.
Oh.
He offered a $50,000 reward for the if somebody could capture the Champlain Serpent.
Did they ever get it?
Is there one out there, Sean?
I don't know.
Where we can go find the
serpent? I don't know. I think there is. There might be one out there. We're going to have to pack it up, the G&D gear.
Well, we'll just have to go out and spend a night on the lake. And you can put on your diving gear and go down.
No. I don't think I can dive with the lake monsters.
You know what? We'll get a shark cage, and we'll wrap it in, like, raw
bacon.
Meat. And we'll put you in the shark cage, and we'll lower it down. And we'll wait to see if the monster comes and tries to eat you.
Well, how do we know that the Champlain monster isn't a vegetarian?
Well, we'll throw some heads of lettuce on there.
Oh, that's great. Put me in the cage.
Out of Pappy!
Yes.
What? You'll be in an anti-shark cage. You'll
be
safe.
Yes, by a monster. It's monster tested, folks, and approved, I'm sure.
If it survived Jaws. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't.
Well, and of course, a lot of people do think it's a serpent, so maybe it would just go right through the cage.
Yeah. I'd be torn in half.
Yes, but think of the ratings, Sean. I think of the hits on YouTube.
Think of the books we could write afterwards. You and my upper torso would be rich and famous for the rest of our lives.
We'd be the half man and the demon hunter.
That's it. Half man. Kind of like the TV show. Start a TV show there. Yeah, I've heard a lot about this, and a lot of people claim that it's a spinoff of course, the famous Loch Ness Monster. And I got some pictures up right now, guys. You're seeing, of course, pictures of some of the sightings, and some of them, I'm sure, are not fabricated at all. And Yeah, then you see the original. They got like a stone out there engraved. It says, this is dedicated to the champ.
I will tell you one thing. Going up on either side of Lake Champlain.
Yeah.
There may be a monster in the water, there may not be.
Okay.
We have no proof either way. But their mosquitoes that they have up there are monster size.
Ah.
I have never in my life encountered, and we have trudged through the swamps of New Orleans. You know, I've jumped into a water full of alligators in Florida.
Yeah.
I have never faced mosquitoes as venomous as the ones on either side of Lake Champlain.
Flying malaria.
Oh my gosh. And they make fun of it. They have magnets, with mosquitoes that say send more tourists.
Don't they spray that area? I mean,
they spray it up and down. The mosquitoes, I'm sure, have grown immune to the spray at this point. They have this giant lake to breed on, and maybe that's what caused the Champlain monster to grow into like a giant monster. Maybe there's something in the water that makes man-eating creatures just grow to enormous size. Because these things were vicious. One of them tried to rip my heart out. I swear, it landed on my chest and tried to suck my heart out through my skin.
How are we going to attack this thing, approach this legend, huh? How will we do that? We go out there.
Well, like I said, I think we need to put you in a cage.
Yeah, shark-proof cage.
I will sit up top with a...
Maybe we shouldn't give out our ideas no more.
Maybe. Somebody else will take it, because, So I'll sit up top with a Game Boy while you stay...
Yeah, we'll sit up to the side and just watch the water. That's what we'll do. Much like, the other...
With, like, sonar and tried to search for it. And, of course, every time there's an underwater monster and people go out with sonar trying to find it, when they don't find something, they immediately report that, there must be underwater caves and it lives in the caves.
Well, yeah. There could be underwater caves. We don't know.
There could be. But how come every time somebody uses sonar that you couldn't find it because of underwater caves?
How deep is Lake Champlain? Do you know off the top of your head?
I do not know off the top of my head.
Is it pretty deep, or is it like
oh, yeah.
50
I mean,
feet?
Like 100? I said, I've gone boating out on it. I've taken the ferry across it. It's one of the Great Lakes, so let's see here.
Pretty deep.
It would be pretty deep, wouldn't it?
Yeah. If it was one of the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
You don't have
it's
to
not one of the. It's not one of the lesser lakes. It's one of the Great Lakes.
It's one of the lesser Great Lakes. I don't know. If Champ's out there, he could be anywhere. He could wash up on the shores of Michigan somewhere.
Lake Champlain says it's 400 feet or 122 meters deep at its max depth.
100 feet?
400 feet.
Oh, 400. That's pretty deep.
Or 122 meters.
That's pretty deep. That's a lot of water to cover, Demon Hunter.
That's a lot of water to cover. I mean, just, you know, and if it's a serpent and it's constantly moving, how do you find that?
A serpent. Anyway, guys, that was G&D Legend X. This week was Champ. Wait till next week. We'll let you know. we'll let you know what the.
Well, when was the last? I'm trying to find here. When was the last report of a Champ sighting?
I don't
know. I've got one from 2009.
As recent as 2009.
As recent as 2009. Mysterious underwater creature living in the lake has been spotted more than 300 times. It doesn't say in how long of a time, but it has only been caught on camera once decades ago.
That's wild, too, with everybody with their cell phones. And.
Yeah, you know, well, apparently somebody actually caught, in 2009, caught a video of what they believed was the beast on the lake, okay. Which you can find on YouTube as the sighting on Lake Champlain in Burlington, Vermont, which, you know, another great mosquito territory there, folks. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a giant mosquito out on the lake.
Maybe they ran him out because they did a tax hike out that way. And they were already pretty high. Maybe Champ said, you know what, this is it. I'm moving.
He didn't want to live in New York for the taxes, didn't want to live in Vermont for the taxes, so he's living in the lake in between.
Maybe he'll be out here in White River in Indianapolis now. He's like, you know, because we got lower taxes.
We need more monsters to come closer to home.
Demon Hunter, the hour is upon us, sir. It is 8 p.m.
Okay.
Time to bring our guest on. Let's go ahead and remind the folks that tonight's guest... Kalila Smith, guys. She's going to be in the house. Like I said before, we're going back on the hunt in the bayou. Ghosts, voodoo, vampires, witches, and much, much more, guys. Stay tuned, Demon Hunter.
I'm always staying tuned.
Stay tuned, guys. We'll be right back. Tonight's band, A La Carte. Sit back, relax, listen. And here we go.
Music, A La Carte.
Yeah.
So that was always fun.
Show. Enjoy yourselves. Oh my God. I am
listeners around the world, this is the Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Hello. Hello.
You know, brother, I still love the fact that we had Mike Rooker, one of the toughest men on television, so cracking up that he couldn't say our name straight at the end of that show.
You know what? I got to say, out of all the Hollywood starlets that we've had on, or stars, or whatever, what have you, he was so cool, man, because, and he came on the night that the night before his game was to be released, his Xbox game or whatever, and a week prior, or was it the night that he was killed off?
The week before his character got killed off, because I came on and said the joke and said, you know, hey Mike, what do you, you know, I know you're not supposed to talk to people about the fact that your character's getting killed off, but oops, I said that, and all of a sudden there was that long pause.
That long, uncomfortable pause. He's like, oh my God, I just lost.
Who's been talking to him?
$2.5 million, man. Hey, guys, I'd like to apologize for having a little bit of technical difficulties there during the break. I thought I was smart and do some last-minute sound settings before the 5 seconds before the show. It did not work, Demon Hunter. It did not work, but that was Alucard.
Were people listening to Kalila and I during that?
A little bit, and then I think I had to take out Alucard and you. So they didn't get to hear the whole thing. So if it was silent, guys, the band's Alucard. If you want to hear more, ReverbNation.com. Tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show sent you. But tonight's guest.
Hey, Sean, if you send me that song, I will put it into the center of the audio archive for people.
You bet. I'll send it.
So let's go back to where we were just talking about how we have the most wonderful, beautiful, fantastic woman waiting online for us right now.
Absolutely. Our friend, good friend of the show, guys. Like I said, we're going back to the bayou tonight for vampires, ghosts, voodoo, and much, much more. Help us, listeners around the world, welcome our good friend, Kalila Smith. Kalila, what's going on?
Hey, Ghostman and Demon Hunter, my favorite boys. How you guys doing?
Woo! We're doing good.
Sweetie, how I wish I was with you in New Orleans right now, but after the heat that I saw going on down there, part of me is glad.
it's smoldering right now. It really is. It's a little hard to handle right now. It's hot.
I bet. Now, are you out on one of the tours right now? Are you at home or what?
No, I'm home. I was down there earlier in the hoo-ha of the French Quarter, and I'm off tonight, yay.
Yay.
So I'm kicking back a little bit tonight.
And you're drinking with the Ghost Man and Demon on it.
Yes.
Speaking of drinking, let me open up a beautiful Sam Adams Boston Lager. We're not getting any money, folks, I swear, for the product placement there.
No, in fact, we'll probably get sued.
Well, yeah, I imagine. We would get sued, but, you know, Kalila, it's been so long since we had you back on, and, you know, in a way, out of our guests that we've ever had on, 7 years in the making now for the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show, you have really been with us places that no other guest has been. I mean, when we got our TV show on A&E, Extreme Paranormal, you were there.
And nobody else was there when we've been out filming stuff like that. You know, what do you think about that? Huh? Wasn't that a ride when we went out there? I got to meet you and everything.
That was fun.
Wasn't that fun? I forget what cemetery that was that we were in, but it was creepy.
I don't know what. Yeah, it was out in Uptown. That was in Uptown, New Orleans. Yeah, it was one of the city cemeteries. I don't know. I don't even know if it has a name. It was on Adams Street. That was a. Yeah, that was kind of a strange, obscure little cemetery. It wasn't one of our bigger ones.
I just. It was cool. All I remember is them bringing out our dinner and setting it out on the tombstone for us to eat, and the cockroaches or palmetto bugs or whatever you want to call them, the
I
size.
Call them cockroaches. that
were crawling all around
us. Flying nasty cockroaches.
I mean, you guys had bugs like I have never seen before. Sean and I went out and filmed in the swamps, and they like we had a giant glowing ball that followed us around everywhere to provide us with light, and they kept having to call cut and turn the ball off because it was so engulfed with bugs that they couldn't film anymore.
Yeah, we got some bugs down here. We definitely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, Nathan, bring up Khalil a little bit, will you? Just a tad bit more.
How's that? Is that better?
Khalila?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Anyway, now you spent a lot of time down near Manchac Swamp, right?
Well, I live right outside of Manchac Swamp. So, yeah. I'm living in it.
Well, last week we were going to save it for you this week. We had the Legend X series, Ghost Man Demon Show, and each week we go on the trail of a new American legend, or then you have to be American, but right now we're covering the United States. But it was the Rougarou, of course. And Nathan wanted to save it.
That's a big one down here. That is a big, big one down here.
Well, I was telling people, you know, because they hear us talk about these legends every week, and people take it for granted and stuff, but I told them to the people on the bayou, or on the swamps down there in New Orleans, a lot of people, this is a real deal, right? Why don't you talk about that a little bit, the Rougarou?
Well, yeah, the Rougarou, now there's actually two versions of Rougarou down here, and they kind of eventually kind of became one. The first one is, of course, the French legend, which came from the Loup-Garou, which is the werewolf.
Right.
And these legends were all over France. France was infamous for legendary folkloric creatures. And, you know, a lot of werewolf tales came from there. And, of course, you know, made their way to the New World with the, you know, early colonists and so forth. And basically the Rougarou came from the broken Cajun French of the Acadians, who didn't speak the real Parisian French. Instead of saying Loup-Garou, it kind of got broken up into Rougarou.
Right.
And these were your werewolf tales. And the werewolf would become part man, part wolf, through either, usually a curse. A witch could make you a werewolf, or you could become a Rougarou by looking into the eyes of another Rougarou. And this is strictly by curse. Unlike a vampire where they have to be bitten or so forth, you don't even have to be bitten by this thing for it to transfer to you.
Yeah.
But if the Rougarou looks into your eyes, you can become the Rougarou, and that person no longer is the Rougarou. In many of the tales, if the person is injured or killed, they transfer back into a person. Now, the other version of the Rougarou actually comes from Choctaw Indians.
Mm.
Their Rougarou, which is spelled a little bit different, the French Rougarou was R-O-U-G-A-R-O-U. And then the R-U-G-A-R-U was a Choctaw word, which was actually more like a Sasquatch creature.
Okay.
That was in the swamp. Very similar to the Honey Island Swamp Monster that so many people are familiar with. These were big, hairy, ape-like creatures who lived in the swamp. Some tribes down here along the Louisiana-Mississippi coast called a Rougarou something that was more of a spiritual being that could transfer to a person and create a curse, turning him into kind of a half-man, half-animal type creature. And that Rougarou was one who protected the tribe's people from the white man, and it was a curse put on the white man. And kind of through the generations, all of these variations of this Rougarou creature kind of all became wrapped up into one thing that is kind of like a thing that lives in the swamp, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, it's that whole blending of the culture thing, which makes you wonder, right, since all the cultures had their own version of it, you know, how far, you know, the French Canadians brought the legend with them, but there was already a legend there. How much of it actually comes from the truth that's behind it?
Well, you see, that's just it. And, you know, in many Native American tribes, they were, and it's blended into the Cajun culture as well. It was not just a werewolf. There were legends and stories of people who did shape-shifting into all kinds of creatures. There was shape-shifting into dogs. There was shape-shifting into wolves. There's shape-shifting into owls or birds. There's all sorts of stories in the bayou about all sorts of types of curses where people could start shape-shifting into animals.
You know, Kalila, I used to date a girl that shape-shifted into a dog. I'm kidding. So I got... You know, I said used to date.
You know, it's funny, though, with all these different transformations of people that transfer into things. This is obviously why all the people from the TV series True Blood moved down to Louisiana, because they can just blend in down there.
Well, yeah, see, yeah, that show kind of follows suit into, you know, the local lore around here, because that would all be applicable.
Which has made me wonder, because I am, you know, I hate to say it, I did read a few of the Sookie Stackhouse books, and honestly, they're like Harlequin love novels with werewolves and vampires thrown
in. Did you read it in your bubble bath?
It was very relaxing. But I did not care for the books. But then when the series came out, I actually did enjoy the series.
Yeah.
And when Sean and I were down there filming a few years ago, we actually rode on the plane back with one of the stunt people, the girl that is Sookie Stackhouse's stunt woman.
Sookie.
But it was just one of these situations where I started watching the series, and I noticed that they had all these shapeshifters and werewolves and stuff that go on in the traditional legends that go on in New Orleans, but they didn't bring in any of the aspect that these were already traditional legends in New Orleans into the storyline. They didn't.
Right. They never do.
Which would have been a nice little, you know, to have a Native American show up and go, well, you know, of course there are shapeshifters in this area. We've known that for years.
Yeah.
You know, usually that's what fiction writers do, though. They take bits and pieces of folklore and so forth and embellish on it to make it palatable for the reader. And, you know, then they kind of take off on their own little storyline and kind of make it look like they made that up. But well, lots of times most fictional characters have some basis in folklore to some degree.
Well, New Orleans needs very little fiction to actually make the stories grow down there. I mean, isn't...
Well, that's true. You don't have to make up stuff down here. You really don't, because, you know, we've got stuff going on that's, you know, more bizarre than any fiction writer could possibly ever make up.
Is New Orleans still the number one place in America for missing people?
I don't know about that, but it's got to be on the top 10 list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People just go disappear. I mean... I mean, you know me, I have a tendency to jump into the swamp, which, you know, if other people have that tendency, they're going to eventually vanish. But
yeah, absolutely. Now,
I mean, you know, for many, many years, I mean, gosh, you know, the end of the 1900s, the whole area of Decatur Street down in the French Quarter was called the Port of Missing Men. I mean, you know, people would come here and then disappear.
Yeah. Now, I tell you what, the first time that I met Kalila, and it was brief, it was, my God, must have been 10 years ago, Demon Hunter. It was, about 10 years, right before we started the show there.
Yeah.
I mean, and I had signed up for, I was with my ex-wife, God love her, and we signed up for the Haunted History Tour. I said, I got to do this, and I was flying in on Southwest Airlines, and I read in the in-flight magazine that you have to check out the Haunted History Tours in New Orleans. So I went down to the voodoo shop, actually, and I signed up, and I met Kalila, and we went out on this tour. And, of course, listeners around the world are just tuning in. Tonight's guest, Kalila Smith, author, lecturer of New Orleans, Ghosts, Voodoo, and Vampires. And, of course, Kalila Smith, Tales from the French Quarter. Those are two books. I know you got a lot more, Kalila, and we'll let you get those out in a minute. But anyway, we went on this tour, and I'll never forget, Kalila, we were down by Lafferty's blacksmith shop. And we walked down the street from that, and we went off the beaten path. Huh?
Pete's Blacksmith?
Okay. In Indiana, it's Lafferty's. I'm a Hoosier, man. Give me a break. Kalila loves me. But anyway, we were down there, and I remember the group walked off, and I was just taking it in, because anybody's been to New Orleans, and Kalila's going to talk about this, these streets, the history, you can feel. It's like being at the Battle of Gettysburg or something on this field. You can feel the energy. You can feel the years of tragedy and good times and all the things that's happened out there. It's electrifying. But I was alone. I found myself alone on the street corner. And it's that spooky enough, you know. And it was somewhere around the French Quarter there, and there was this beautiful, beautiful young lady, and she came out, and she was across the street. And I'm not kidding you guys, she was wearing, and I've told you this, Demonheart, she was wearing a white gown. I know it's cliche, you always hear that about ghosts and stuff. I don't know if she was a ghost, a vampire, or whatever, and if she was, she could have had me, you know, real cheap. But she was beautiful, and she was staring at me across the street, and it was mesmerizing, you know. And I remember one of the guys that was with us said, "Hey, man, come on, bro." And it just kind of shook me, and I went down the road. Kalila, do you have things like that? Do you? I know there's vampire, you know, people who dress up like vampires and that whole culture out there. But do you ever have people on your tours and stuff say, you know, "I've encountered this. I've encountered a lady in a white gown," or things like that? Because I look back, and the lady was gone.
Yeah, people have weird things happen all the time down there. They really do. They'll see things out of the corner of their eyes while they're on the tour. We have one location where over the last 8 years, we've been doing this tour for 18 years, and over 18 years' time, we've had about 100 people faint on the tour in this one location, right outside the LaLaurie house. And another thing that people have come to tell me over, you know, over the years from time to time, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the St. Germain store on the Vampire Tour, but, you know, back in the early 1900s, the guy who showed up from the south of France and disappeared after killing a young woman. They found all sorts of bottles of wine mixed with blood inside this man's house, and a lot of people believe that he was the Count St. Germain, who was an 18th century alchemist. And this alchemist wrote about something that he referred to calling it the elixir of life. You know, he never mentioned what the substance was, and he shared it with very few people. But many people believe that this man was the Count Saint Germain and that he is truly a vampire. And through the years, I've had people tell me that they've encountered someone that they believe to be Jacques Saint Germain in New Orleans. I mean, I had one guy on the tour not too long ago. He told me a story from, he said he hadn't been in New Orleans since the 1970s. When he was a student at Tulane University. And he told me a story about walking down the street and this guy following him. And he said that when he turned the corner and the guy was in front of him and he looked him in the eye, he had like steel blue eyes staring intently into his eyes. And he said just instinctively he knew when he looked into this person's eyes that he was a vampire. And the guy said he ducked into a nearby store and lost him somehow. But he said it was terrifying. And this had happened to him over 40 years ago, and he never forgot about it. And he shared this story with me, and it was so similar to stories that I had heard over the last, you know, 18 years from people who have run into this individual from time to time that they claim is Jacques Saint Germain.
You know, I've been drinking Saint Germain vitamin water for years, and I wonder why it was red into color. Wow.
Hey, Kalila, I didn't want to bore you with the details about, you know, because last time we had you on, and I know you've done numerous radio shows, and everybody always asks you the same stuff, and I'm going to have to do it. How did you get into it? Your love of all things paranormal. How did you start with that? Growing up, all that stuff.
I mean, I kind of grew up around it. I mean, I've been around it my whole life. I grew up here, so I grew up around the stories. I grew up around the folklore. I grew up around the hauntings. I experienced things as a kid. I saw, you know, things in my house that I grew up in. I grew up in a very old house in River Ridge, you know, Louisiana. And I always saw things, always experienced things. As far as the vampires and the werewolves, I mean, I was, you know, 2-3 years old watching the old black and white Hammer movies with my father. You know, he kind of got me hooked on that kind of stuff, you know. But it's, you know, when you grow up here, it's just kind of part of my culture, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And growing up there, now that's not too far from the French Quarter and stuff, right?
Well, it's about maybe 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, 20 minutes. So you were down there partying all the time when you was a teenager then?
Actually, I wasn't allowed in the French Quarter when I was a teenager.
Smart move. Good old dad. Good thinking, Pop.
No. You know, actually, where I grew up in the suburbs, and I was not allowed to cross the parish line and come into New Orleans when I was a teenager.
Oh, you turned into a Rougarou.
Yeah.
It's funny, Sean. I went down last year to visit Louisiana and New Orleans, and I got to spend a lot of time with Cleola. We hung out a lot.
Yeah.
And she introduced me to some of her vampire friends who still work the vampire, or live the vampire life.
Well, yeah, we've had one on the show.
Yeah, and it was funny because I was hanging out with them, and, you know, years ago I used to hang out with the vampire crowd in New York. So I blended into the whole thing after a while, and they just kept saying, you need to move to Louisiana. You need to move to Louisiana. And it was so tempting because, really, I would love to live in Louisiana, except for June, July, and August.
See, you need to convert. We could do the Ghost Man and Vampire show.
July, August, and September this year.
Yeah.
Really, really sweltering. June's actually kind of pleasant. Yeah, July's been pretty bad, and I'm not looking forward to August and September.
Now, walking down there on those streets, Kalila, you ever get, of course you get spooked by the living, but you ever get spooked, like you get into the wrong part of town, you think, man, the energy's really stacked here tonight. Something feels bad. You ever get spooked like that?
I used to, when I first started working down there, like down around the convent area, it would just feel kind of creepy and eerie, like something's watching you. But I've been doing it for so long, and I've been down there so long that I'm kind of impermeable to it. It feels normal to me.
Right.
I'll get other people come in from out of town, though, and they'll tell me the energy feels weird, and I don't notice it. You know, I mean, you know, what's weird to some people now is pretty normal to me.
It's so funny because people ask Sean and I all the time, you know, are you sensitive? Can you feel the energy? And I'm sitting there going, I don't feel the energy. I've just been doing this so long, I know when something's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can feel something's different. Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like after Katrina. I definitely noticed there was a difference. There was kind of a void going on, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can definitely feel the energy, especially when you've been in this field as long as we all have. And it's just totally, that's what I said about New Orleans. You can feel that energy when you're walking down the streets, especially when you're on the Haunted History Tour and everything. You know, you're hearing those stories. Now, I've seen you guys have had a lot of stars on. Nick Cage, people like that come on out on your guys' tours. Now, he bought the house out there, you know. What's the story on that house? It was the slave house, right, where she kept slaves?
That's the Lari house. He actually owned that house, Nick. And he lived in it for a while. And that was the house where Madame Delphine Lalaurie, in 1834, there was fire in the house. And it was discovered that she and her husband had been torturing their slaves. The slaves were all chained up in the attic. And they had been beaten and starved and looked like they had been the recipients of crude medical procedures. They were disfigured and arms missing, legs missing, eyes plucked out. And, many of them were already dead. Some were, you know, still alive. One guy looked like he had been the recipient of some crude sex change operation. And while the police are, you know, trying to get these people out of the attic of this burning house, the Lalaurie's kind of slipped off into the darkness and disappeared at the riverfront. A lot of people suspect that they went upriver across Lake Pontchartrain and disappeared on the North Shore and then eventually made their way back up to New York and back to Paris.
Now, I know there was rumors because I've watched
in the city of New Orleans, and that is where a lot of people faint on the tour, is right around that area.
Yeah, I know one of the tales I heard out there was the torso of a slave is actually seen on the staircase there. Did you ever get a chance to talk to Nicolas Cage and say, man, do you ever see anything in there?
I had not talked to him personally, though, no. But he did take a tour. He did take the tour with one of our tour guides. He did a private tour. And because when he bought the house, he actually didn't know what he had gotten himself into. He had no idea that his house was haunted.
Now, rumor has it when Nick would come to town, he would eat dinner at the house and hang out all day at the house, but he would sleep somewhere else.
Well, he actually owned several houses here. He owned that house, and then he owned another house down in the Garden District on Pretend, and oddly enough, it too was a haunted house. Not as holy house, but it still had a ghost story associated with it.
Right.
I do know that when he sold that house, the rumor, of course, went out that Brad Pitt had bought it from him, and in fact, That is only a rumor, folks. Brad Pitt,
that's just a rumor. Yeah. Brad Pitt actually owned a house on the same street, but in the next block.
Right.
But they haven't been there in a number of years. I think they kind of got rid of that house and kind of cut their ties with New Orleans when the twins were born. Because the twins were born in France. And so they had already moved to South France, you know.
Now, it was funny, when I came down to visit you, you connected me with the New Orleans Voodoo Museum.
Yes.
And that was, you know, all my training in voodoo had always been in Haitian voodoo. So when I got down there,
right.
I truly got to learn the difference between Haitian voodoo and New Orleans voodoo, which I never knew, not even when I was down there, like, doing voodoo rituals. I didn't realize that New Orleans voodoo is based so much stronger in actual just the beliefs that the slaves brought with them, and not the actual religion aspect of voodoo, the original Haitian version.
Well, New Orleans voodoo is a blend. I mean, it got blended a lot with Catholicism, you know, by Marie Laveau. And, you know, but New Orleans voodoo from the very, very beginning, when the Haitians first came here, we had already had slaves from the Congo region of Africa. And they practiced their own very similar religion, Palo Mayombe. And so the Haitian voodoo that came here originally got mixed with Apollo, and then it got mixed with Catholicism, and it got mixed with some Native American religions. So it was very much of a mixture of cultures. You know, once it got here, it didn't stay that pure Haitian voodoo. So yeah, it's a major difference.
And you know, I've always been very strong into the different symbols and things like that, and to get down there and realize that the symbols have such different meanings in the New Orleans voodoo.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you've got differences with the Congo influence,
right?
So, you know, it's a little bit different.
And there's also the whole aspect of the introduction of jazz through voodoo.
Yeah, the jazz music coming from the African music. Yeah, yes. That influence, definitely.
Now, I got to ask you the age-old question, the one that's been asked over and over again, Kalila, and you're a good friend of the show. Now, doing this for as long as you've done it, and being in the places where these legends and this lore has been known to walk, the ghosts, the vampires, everything, are you a believer in the ghost of New Orleans?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Definitely. I've experienced way too much to not believe it. You know, I've definitely experienced way too much to not believe it. And I've always believed it. Like I said, it's part of my culture. It's, you know, I grew up around it. So, you know, it seems normal to me, but definitely there's definitely hauntings down here.
Absolutely. I believe 100%. And Nathan and I have seen enough magic ghost. Magic and ghost and everything out there in New Orleans. I'm a believer. You're a believer. Listeners around the world, you're a believer. Demon Hunter?
Well, can I just ask a few more things here? Because I know, Kalila, I know for years, my whole thing was I would hop in a car and drive and spend time with people and live their life. And that's how I learned about what they, you know, what they believed and what they did. And not too long ago, my wife asked me if I could still do that, what would I do? And I said, I would hop into a car, drive down to New Orleans, and learn to be a tour guide for the haunted history. Before we have to wrap up for the evening and things like that, can you just give us some information about the haunted history tours and what you do there?
Well, we have our best way to book our tours is at our website, of course, at hauntedhistorytours.com. Our website has all the different tours, times, and locations on there. And people can just book right on the tour website and bring the email confirmation with them to the tour. But we have a ghost tour that is every night at 6 and 8 p.m. And that takes you to the most haunted locations in the French Quarter. It does include a break inside a haunted bar. We also have a vampire tour, which is a combination of fiction and reality. Fiction in the sense of movie sites filmed in New Orleans. But more importantly, it is actual locations where real blood drinkers have killed their victims, real vampire crimes that have occurred. And then we, of course, have our voodoo tour, which is offered on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights at 7:30 p.m. And that's more of an academic tour on the religion of voodoo, kind of dispelling the Hollywood myths, People do get to see some real Haitian altars and hear the street voodoo as it relates to the city's history.
And if people are down in New Orleans right now on vacation or touring or just live down there and never got over there to take your tour, where can they go to set up the tour?
They can go to our website, economyhistorytours.com. They can give us a call at 504-861-2727. The Voodoo and the Ghost Tour leave from Reverend Zombie's Voodoo Shop, which is located at 723 St. Peter Street, right off of Bourbon, across from Pat O'Brien's, easy to find, and Preservation Hall. And then, of course, the Vampire Tour at 8:30 leaves from in front of the St. Louis Cathedral, the big church in Jackson Square.
And if they were at Reverend Voodoo's, can they find your books there? And which books can they find?
The book can be purchased, yes. They do have copies of the book available at Reverend Zombie's. We also have it available at our website and, of course, on the tours. And the book's also available on Nook and Kindle now. It's called New Orleans Ghost, Voodoo, and Vampires. And then, of course, I have Tales of the French Quarter out. And very, very soon, I'm going to have one out on Miami. It's called Miami Dark Tales. And Searching for Spirits, the Ultimate Guide for Ghost Hunters, is going to be coming out real soon, too.
Ooh. Well, I do.
And hopefully by Halloween, I actually just did a movie called Curse of the Rougarou. So it's funny how we're talking about the Rougarou, because I wrote and directed a little, you know, low-budget indie film
called
Curse of the Rougarou. And I'm in the process of editing that right now.
Well, Kalila, I got to tell you, you know I love you, and Demon Hunter loves you, and you've been a good friend of the show, and you've always been there for us, and you're the best, guys. And you can check out more on Kalila, guys, hauntedhistorytours.com. That's 504-861-2727. Make sure to check it out. If you're going to be over there, go to Pado's, ask for the hurricane, huh? Ask for the hurricane. Very delicious drink. Very tasty. Tasty treat. What do you guys think? Anything else to say, Demon Hunter?
I just want to throw out there that, like you, Sean, I met Kalila before I knew she was going to be such a big part of our lives.
That's it.
Way back when I took her tour as well, and she gave me a blessed pair of Mardi Gras beads that were blessed by a voodoo priestess. And
oh, wow, yeah, I remember those.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, yeah. That was in the beginning.
And I bought your book, and recently, you know, a couple of years ago, I got another copy of your book because I realized the new book is thicker than the original book. There's more to it.
It's grown, yeah. I've added to it. It's in its sixth edition.
So, Kalila, I just wanted to say love you so much, and you know, since New Orleans, when people ask me what my favorite city is, I always tell them it's New Orleans.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm so glad you guys had me on the show again. I really appreciate it. I love you guys. You know how much I support your efforts and everything you guys do, you know?
Well, you know, if anybody can actually find the Rougarou, it's going to be Sean and I. We're going to find him.
We will find him.
You know what? There's a whole big Honey Island swamp down here. You guys ought to come down here and hunt the Rougarou. You really should do that. That's a good look for it.
Well, I'm sure we will see you again very soon in the future.
Can you stay on the line while we wrap up, Kalila?
Yes.
And Sean.
What a sweetheart. Gotta love Kalila.
It's that time, isn't it?
It is that time. You hear this? Uh-oh. Closing music. Guys, listeners around the world, special thanks to tonight's guest, Kalila Smith from the Haunted History Tours of New Orleans. You want to make sure to check that out. Author, lecturer, Kalila Smith. Check her out, guys, online. Special thanks for tonight's music, Midnight Syndicate, Alucard, Creations by Soul Denounced, guys. That's soulsdenounced.com. Hey, from the Haunted Backroads of America, this has been another Haunted Backroads exclusive interview. Don't go changing America, Demon Hunter.
You know we won't, because we love you.
We love you, guys.